RPG for You and Me presents a special Patreon miniseries. Welcome to Silica Valley.
We open on jagged, rocky peaks jutting up through the foggy mists hanging over the Cobalt Tier, the sun blazing high in the sky, reflecting off of the water molecules of the fog itself. Impaled upon several of the jagged spires is the broken husk of Fun Voyage, the gambling riverboat that met a rocky end. On the lowest tier of Fun Voyage's decks, we see several figures standing and staring down into the remnants of the mist itself. The prisoner, Chikara the Karnak, leader of the bandits, having met a more than grisly fate.
Grisly.
Perhaps both.
Perhaps both.
So we have just made some fear rolls. Set has attained a new major phobia of heights. Graji has a major phobia of falling objects. And maybe we should have Sia make her spirit roll at a -2 now.
So last session I did pick up a minor phobia of loud animals. So let's see what I can do with that.
That was on the trip up, right?
That was on the trip up. We all got it on the trip up. Mm. That was a bad route for the team.
Oh, also, if you guys, if you've not yet, go ahead and draw your adventure cards.
Oh, thank you.
So my spirit, do you remember how good my spirit is?
I think it's a D4.
It's a D4. Statistically, the die most likely to blow up. It didn't.
Okay.
I'm going to spend one Benny.
Okay.
As a matter, you know.
As a matter.
As a matter.
What's the matter?
Oh, what's the matter with you? -2?
-2.
Oh, it's a 2.
Okay.
No.
Are you going to stick with that?
Yeah.
Okay, then I need you to roll a d20 +2.
+2?
Yep, and this is going to be for a fear table result.
Should I roll my metal die, or...
Metal die.
Yeah. Thank you, Jason. I'll send you a picture of this. This is a chonky boy.
Oh, that sounds like chonky as crap.
That is a 4.
A 4 +2?
Nope.
Just a 4.
Just a 4.
Okay, distracted. The hero is distracted until the end of their next turn.
Sheesh.
So you want to give me a reading here on your response to Chikara's ultimate fate as the ricochet of the bullets continues to echo in the fog beneath you as, you know, muffled noises drifting back up.
Sia has since stood up and is just looming over the railing looking down. And she's just watching the red mist fall and mingle with the regular mist until it's just kind of mixed in there. And she doesn't know if it's... I don't think she knows if it's really still there in red, but she's certainly still seeing it. And I think she really wants a drink. She's so thirsty.
Maybe, like, there's almost the still ringing in her ear, and as her senses, like, sense of hearing starts to return to her, she can actually hear Set calling out in a panic, reaching his hand up to be pulled up and over the cliff edge while the Seracor is teetering and clopping its way up. He just seems, has an absolute look of panic on his face.
Well, she gets back in the swing of it because, you know, Set's her buddy and she doesn't want him to fall down in the mist too, so she's going to grab him.
We get a point of view shot of Sia as she's looking down into the mist and her vision refocuses on Set as he's reaching his clawed hand up. And the muffled shouts coming through like a Charlie Brown adult, like, until they finally cut through. And then we see the light green mists start to fade back into itself and cover the scene from view.
You know how when your eyes, like, you know that your eyes are not focused, but you're just kind of like, what if I just left him here for a while? What if I didn't have to see right for a little while? But she sharpens in.
Oh, God. Oh, man, I didn't know. Oh, my. And Set looks back for a moment and then spins his head right back around as quickly as he glanced over his shoulder, if not double time faster. breathing heavily, his chest pounding. Oh man, oh man, I can't look down. Oh man, oh man, that was, Graji, are you up here?
Yeah, Graji is off to one side. I think he might have even been the first one who made it up.
I think he was. Yeah. It was, oh, that's right, it was Graji, Sia, Set.
So Graji is off to one side, Claxby is sort of wedged in between the railing over the edge and one of the walls of the riverboat itself, just sitting there, clacking in relative passivity, and Graji takes a stomping step over and puts a hand steadying on Set's shoulder, but his eyes are also, you know, looking back over the edge, and he says,
"Oh, it's over. Deep breath."
Oh man, I don't even want to think about trying to get back down. Oh god. Oh man. I don't know. I hope there's not more of those.
Maybe there's a ladder. Maybe we could just jump to the big canyon bits up here. Maybe Ray, he can drive. He'll be fine.
Can I make a notice roll to look around the top of this mesa, I'm assuming? Mesa-like structure?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and make a notice. Before you make the roll, is there anything specific that you're looking for?
I'm looking for the layout, if there's any obvious ways into the Fun Voyage, and just the general, how much space do we have? Is there any path? I guess, you know, just get a good look at the area, see how far off the other places are. I'm not going to look back behind me where the cliff edge is. Hopefully I don't have to take a -2 to this.
Yeah,
now.
You're on even footing right now. You're not having to look down. So yeah, go ahead and make a notice. Flat roll.
Set said, fuck cool. That shit.
Fuck that. I got a 4.
4 is a success. So you get up here, you get your bearings. Honestly, this is kind of a perfect scenario for somebody who doesn't want to deal with heights right now. As you turn to look at Fun Voyage, the blanket of green-tinted mist stretches out as far as you can see in almost every direction here and kind of makes it look like it's the ground. You know, you can clearly tell that it's not the ground because it still flows and it moves, but you can't see beneath it. And if you look very closely, you know, as it shifts and moves, you can see some blurry images here and there, but for all intents and purposes, it is blocking your view.
Yeah, it's almost like looking at fog over a lake in the morning.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it looks like.
Oh, it's so pretty.
And the mist seems to be thickest where you guys currently are. You know, it is emanating from the rocky pillars that Fun Voyage is currently speared upon. Although it's coming from below, not above. So you're effectively above the danger level of where that is.
With that, I lift my goggles above my brow again and pull my scarf down. Take a deep breath of fresh air that something I haven't been able to breathe for the last several days.
It's crisp and it's clean, and you can feel the gusts of wind blowing against you. And every so often, there is a stronger gust because there is nothing except for the errant rocky spire to buffet that or to break it. So this is just a giant flat area. Occasionally it blows a plume of the fog a little bit higher into the air, but it doesn't actually disperse the visual gradient that you're looking out onto the horizon. Fun Voyage itself is a 3-story riverboat. So it's not nearly as big as like a cruise liner, but you guys have room to move around. It is very apparent to you from where you are that it's in pretty bad shape. From where you're standing right now, it doesn't seem like it's about to fall apart, so you probably don't need to worry too much about, you know, the floorboards just giving out beneath you. It's sturdily built, but it's been pretty well wrecked by being crushed by rocky spires. It's very opulent, but definitely worn down. I mean, if you assume that it's been here since around the zero or sometime thereafter, that's still quite a long time for it to have survived. The deck that you're on right now is definitely the lowest of the deck, probably the observation deck. On the exterior right here, you can see that it starts to go around the sides of the boat, but quickly is broken off. So it looks like the only way to go inside is through a big pair of double doors that are just hanging open. One of those doors has completely fallen off and is broken against the railings on one side. The entire ship, or at least the part you're at right now, is at a bit of an angle. It's not so much that you need to, you know, be crawling while you go or that you can't stand comfortably, but you definitely notice that there is a shift in the equilibrium. So from where you're at, you can see that those double doors lead into the structure itself, and it's darker in there, so it's kind of hard to tell details from out here.
Okay, so the static sense is still going on all of us from a previous encounter that lasts an hour.
Okay, sure.
Technically, my sandstorm, I think, is the sand cloud is a 10-minute duration, so it might still be going.
Yeah, the whole trip up here probably took less than a minute or two. So that could still be going if that's something that you want to be active.
Yeah, maybe give us a little bit of cover as we continue forward into this area. It's just a cloud of sand around us instead of a whipping damage dealing. Shouldn't be eroding anything too much or interfering with the structural integrity of this wrecked cruise liner or paddle boat. What was it? Which type of ship was
it? Yeah, I would say it would be the paddle boat style. It's a river boat, okay. So I think a paddle
boat.
Yeah.
It had course it had the water wheel because that was what was at the bottom.
Yep. Yeah.
The water wheel had fallen and smashed along the cliffs, which is what people were climbing up to start their ascent. And you had cast the sight on Gragi as well, is that right?
I think all of us had it, actually.
I think so.
Including...
Ray have it too?
Yeah, I think I put it on Ray.
Yeah, well, that's Ray's how he's not able up to here make... with you. He's on the bottom anyway.
Not a big deal at this point.
Yeah. Gragi makes a couple of mouth clicks to Claxby, and he makes one of those burbling hisses, but then sort of settles in, puts his pincers around some of the railings to just anchor itself, but then he makes to follow you guys. As you go into the structure itself, because you have your static sense up, acts as dark vision, so you can see perfectly, there's a lot of storage down here. Some broken machinery, probably stuff more in line with broken and twisted metal, you know, engines, things like that have been completely destroyed, covered in rust, pieces that have fallen off, maybe tumbled out. Broken boxes and crates with missing and destroyed goods. And there's a constant whooshing of escaped air because there are just holes in the sidewall that slant down towards the depths below, but nothing that's wide enough for you guys to fall through. It's more just a constant passage of air that leads deeper. But there doesn't seem to be anything, you know, too terribly interesting down here as you pick through the wreckage and start to make your way deeper.
No good scrap or nothing.
It depends what you're looking for.
Just stuff to help fix the beacon that we got from Gragi.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking around for specific scrap or electronics to try to fix the beacon, that's something you could try to salvage here.
Cool. I'd like to try that. I haven't salvaged a lot of electronics thus far.
Okay. I think here it's probably going to be a notice at -2.
My notice of D4. Nope. I think maybe it's just too rusty.
Yeah.
And she's a little rattled still.
That's fair. Yeah, we get a couple of shots of Sia picking through boxes. You find a lot of old provisions, stuff that's very clearly expired. Just basic supplies, maybe a med kit or two that has been torn open and things are missing from the inside. But the machinery itself is all bigger parts, broken, you know, rusted to shit. The smaller, fine electronics or components that you would need, definitely... It wouldn't be something you would normally find in a storage room like this.
I think she takes some of the expired provisions and whiles at it set like, oh no, it's not a soda, but this apparently used to be granola. I don't think we should eat it, but here you go if you
granola?
Want it.
Granola? Is it made out of dirt? Like grain? Granulars?
I don't think anybody really knows what it's made out of.
That's, I wonder how long it's been here. Does it look like it's as old as this ship, or does it look like it might be newer provisions that have been placed here by maybe an adventuring mercenary from just a little bit ago, maybe a couple years?
That's a very good question. These provisions definitely look old. This looks like something pre-zero that has probably been here just as long.
As you're like kind of looking around, I'm kind of on high alert right now. I'm winded. Speaking metagame wise, I only have 6 remaining power points.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not gotten a chance to rest. So I would draw my rapier and my shotgun as we continue forward into this dark area because, you know, I don't think we're out of the fire yet. So you hear the snap of the button on my thigh harness for my shotgun as I pull out the small sawed off, and then a dull scraping shink as I pull my the rapier out with my other hand and switch them around. Rapier in my right hand and shotgun in my left as we continue forward.
Can you tell us or give us a description of what the rapier looks like?
It's a white bone, the Corvallis leather wrapped around the hilt of it, and it's very thin, probably somewhat serrated. It might be micro serrated, like the actual bone of a ray tail.
That's cool.
And it being made out of the bone or the stinger of the Corvallis ray, I have the ability to charge it with my own Corey essence to deliver a stun on a hit, a successful hit.
Very cool.
That's so cool.
Kind of has a conductive trapping to it, so like it might make me also susceptible to an electric shock or maybe transferring Corey damage into me, but we haven't really covered that too much. So it's effectively a rapier-like blade, not like a sturdy, stout hand and a half sword or anything like that. Just something for quick stabs, straight jabs. Could perform slashing, but for the most part, it's for you want to stick them deep with it and pull out and get out of the way. Kind of like a spear, but different.
That's very cool. I like the idea of it being, you know, potentially reverse conducting. I feel like you would only have some downsides if you had a crit fail or something like that.
And I don't remember if we covered if, like, basically if I got a raise, I would be able to discharge the stun into the person, or if I activated it to some degree.
If you are investing the points into it to try to activate the power, then it would be activating it on a hit. It wouldn't require the raise, I think.
Basically, would I roll essence on a successful hit? Like a free roll essence roll to trigger it.
I think that makes sense. And if you have a different idea or something that you'd like to pitch, I'm of course all ears about that. My goal is to give you interesting items and tools that you can use that are strong but don't feel punishing to use. Like, I don't want to put too much of an economy tax on, like, well, first you have to roll to activate it and then you have to roll to hit with it. So
I feel that making it basically I can choose to trigger the power by using essence, by making it a free roll would balance well with, instead of having to get a raise in order for it to activate and stun the person. I think it's balanced to get a power that I roll for it, because that's kind of how the game economy of the powers work in this game already. But I haven't dealt with a lot of special items in Savage Worlds yet. So like to this degree. But, you know, like, it'd be like using a power. It's just like I get to use a power and a melee attack in the same action is real great action economy. So
I think that's good. You know, so let's say on a hit, if you choose, you can make a free roll to activate your essence and to try to trigger the ability.
Yeah.
And then it'll trigger just like, you know, the stun power, and we can resolve it that way. So you guys are advancing deeper into Fun Voyage itself. So Set has drawn his weapons. Are you going first, Set?
I would definitely keep myself in front of Sia, because, you know, I'm kind of protective. I don't know where Graji is in the marching order, but him and Claxby are, I imagine, around. I don't think we're in such a narrow corridor that we have to be in a straight line, but I would definitely be, like, leading the way forward, because this is my whole thing, and I'm curious. I need to look for something to indicate where this glittering path kiosk was, so I'm going to be specifically looking out for something similar to that, but also the gal that might be wandering around in here. Was it a gal that was leading this group, or no?
Yeah, the name that you got was Lockme.
Lockme.
Lockme, yeah. So Lockme is about, but I'm also trying to see if I can notice anything in regards to the crypto tube and the glittering path kiosk. Or maybe a giant, tiny robot.
So Chikara said that Lockme fled up the pillar because there were, like, bandit disputes. Was that the gist of it?
That's the gist of what Chikara told you, yes.
So they never came back down. So they could be here, or they could have been et by a worm.
Also possible. I think when you spoke to Graji, he also indicated that the last he knew, Lockme was the leader.
He said that Lockme went up. He also said that there's only one person that would be the best guide, and that was Lockme. I said, well, you're going to be our guide today.
So you guys continue forward on the lowest deck through more rooms of these old dusty boxes and crates. Occasionally, a spike of stone and rock juts up through the floorboards. The wood is splintered and falling apart. There's never a big enough gap that you might slip through. It does creak when you walk over it, but the footing holds. you're able to make it basically the entire way through the bottom mm-hmm. deck here until the only way to go out is to go onto the outer ring of the ship itself. There's like an interior cabin on each of these decks, and then there's the ring of the deck itself where people mm-hmm. would, you know, go out to enjoy the air. So you can go to the outside of the deck, and then there's going to be a big set of stairs that will lead up to the next deck, to deck number two.
I'll cautiously head up the stairs and hope it doesn't creak so loud it gives us away, but we are kind of walking through a cloud of sand, so, you know, it's more about...
Well, if you guys would like to make stealth rolls, if you're trying to be careful, then go ahead and make those for me.
Do it. I have a d6 stealth.
I have a
d4. If there would be something to notice your presence, then this would be an opposed roll.
Four.
So there's no static difficulty that I can give you here.
I got a 5 on my wild die.
Nice, nice. Okay. You make your way up the stairs. Again, there's stone that is just protruding from the stair itself, splinters of wood tumbling down like little rocks. You can make your way around and up onto the next deck. Everything here is still a little askew at a bit of an angle as you make your way around and then back through another set of double doors and into the interior cabins. And you can visibly see inside. It's not like these are solid walls. There's sort of a waist-high lip that runs the whole way around this cabin area.
Mm-hmm. Like a guardrail?
Yeah, it's kind of like a guardrail, but the rest of it are windows. So you can very clearly see inside. A lot of the windows are smashed, and more bits of wood that would have held the frame falling away, or dangling, or just missing entirely. On the exterior, before you actually go through these double doors, there is a faded sign that is bolted to a stretch of wall there, and it is a cartoon water strider cryptid with a little name that says, Scurry the Strider says welcome.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just a cartoon water strider with one of its little bug legs sort of beckoning you in, like, hey, come on down.
I think seeing that does make Sia smile for like the first time. A weird animal mascot. Let's go.
What type of doors do we have here?
I think they're probably sliding doors.
Sliding doors, not double doors. Okay.
Maybe double sliding doors.
Ooh.
Double sliding doors.
Yeah. But again, you can, you know, the bottom half might be solid, but the top half has window panes on it so that you can clearly see inside. And from where you're standing, you can tell that this is a lounge and game area.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of red velveteen, gold trim, some faded and rotting wood of what probably used to be darker tones but has lightened either from sun exposure or been worn away with time. There's fungus.
Fungus among us.
There's some fungus and other bioluminescent plant life that is growing out of the rotted wood. Some insect-devoured furniture, what was probably comfy-looking chairs and sofas, stools pulled up to poker tables, and a big broken roulette wheel, broken windows all around. On one end, there's an ancient, gross buffet with mummified remains of food. Probably black and blocky looking from here.
I played Breath of the Wild. I know what that looks like.
Is it musky? And can we see the little flitters of, like, dust?
Yeah, there's definitely dust here. But because a lot of the windows are broken, there's still just a constant air current. So I think that means that the airstream makes some of the surfaces a lot cleaner because it is able to blow that debris away, but then in more tucked away corners where the stuff isn't broken, you can see more of the dust has settled there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly how that looks. The wind paths and the air currents have swept it clean, but anything that would be shielded by a shelf or in the corners of the little hallways or behind a chair, there'd be like a little teardrop of dust around the chair leg.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So they slide open. So I'm going to motion for Sia and Graji to both open the door while I proceed forward with my shotgun drawn.
Sia's in position. She's got her hands clamped on the door. It probably is not as hard to move as she's anticipating.
You and Graji both take the cue from Set. When you pull the door to go back, Sia, can you roll me a d6?
Yeah.
On a 5 or a 6, this door is just going to fall off.
It's a 4.
It's a 4. Okay, so you can feel the creak and you can feel maybe the track is a little bit loose, but you're able to steady it as you open it.
She's just like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Like one of the wheels is like in track and the other one's like on the lip of the track. Just like, yeah.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Chase, would you like to roll a second d6 for Graji's Said? Same thing. If it's a 5 or a 6, it's going to fall off.
Okay. He got a 5.
Nice. Okay, so...
Ka-thunk.
I think Graji just does not have the light touch of Sia, and he just jerks it back and maybe just rips it off the hinge by accident. It doesn't make a huge clatter or anything, but there is a little splinter of wood as this very clearly old rotted door just peels away. And then he's just kind of standing there holding half a door, looking at both of you.
Nice shield.
Maybe a couple less protein shakes next time. Mm. Unless you're trying to keep up mass, then that's fine.
Need to keep up mass out here.
Well, you won't be here for much longer, so.
Mm. He looks at the door. Chase, would you like to roll a smarts roll for him, which is a d4 with a d6 wild die?
He got a 4 on his wild die.
He's hefting the door, and he looks over to one side and seems to be seriously considering just frisbeeing it off the edge, but maybe thinks better of it at the last moment and then just sort of tentatively sets it down on the deck.
Damn.
Does he have a weapon?
Yeah, Graji also has a big spear.
Cool.
Is it like a tall spear? Like a Guan Yu spear?
Yeah, it's probably shorter than that just for practicality because of, you know, available resources and stuff like that. It's definitely made of bone. Cobbled together, but still sturdy enough for use. He's had it, you know, at the ready as you guys go through. He's not in like a constant combat stance, but he's prepared for action. You open those doors. Inside here, you can now see that a lot of the tables and chairs have, over time, slid down along the gradient and are now piled along one of the edges. As you get a little bit deeper, one side of this area is just completely torn away and is open air. You're not in danger of accidentally falling out there, and there's clearly some stuff that has slid over there and, you know, created a bit of a safe barrier, but it is something to be aware of, and it, you know, the draft always funnels that way because it's the greatest exit.
Check sound.
You see a bar with many broken bottles, but some of them are still intact. You also note for the first time that there are a lot of skeletons of various humanoid remains scattered about. Many of them, much like the furniture, have been dashed across the side or sort of lying in scattered piles of bones. And some of the more protected areas that, you know, haven't been affected by the air, where the windows haven't broken, you might see one that is straddled in a chair or just slumped to one side. But these are all old bodies, old remains, all visibly humanoid.
Sia's going to take a scientific approach to this because, like, she's seen bones before. Bones are fine. She's going to walk around and look around and see if they look distinctly humanoid and like carnicky, or if there are extra limbs hanging around and bigger chompers than usual, like post-zero kind of bodies versus pre-zero bodies.
Sure. If you would like to, couple of things you could use here. You could do a regular notice. You could use science.
I have science.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to go ahead and make me a science roll.
5.
This is pretty rudimentary for somebody of your skill, but even just looking around, it's very clear that these are all human and carnic remains. The only distinct skeletons are really those of the carnic. All the rest of them look just normal, vanilla human. So, and they've been here for a long time. Even scraps of clothing are almost entirely faded or gone or have just worn away with the 2 centuries since the zero, so that's a reasonable assumption.
What do you think happened to these people? I mean, did it just get speared out of the water by this and everybody just died?
Looks like a catastrophe. Maybe they died and the boat was adrift for a long time, and I don't know. Is there any sign of, like, violent injury, broken bones, or... I don't know, the clothes are too far gone for us to tell anything else. Just how do the bones look, isn't it?
If you would like to make me a roll set, I can give you something on that.
Since she's pointed it out already, do you want me to do notice or survival? I know where the bones are, so I'm going to be looking over them for obvious signs of trauma to the skeleton.
Yeah, I think survival is definitely applicable in this situation. Okay. That makes perfect sense to me.
And Sia's like, look at these bones! They're fucked up! They're normal!
Ooh, I got a 3 and a 1. Yeah, it seems like a minor point to be using a Benny on.
There are a lot of bones here that you can take a look at. The ones from the people that are just still in chairs are mostly normal looking. Mm-hmm. They've got weather wear on them. Some of the ones that are more cast to the side or where the bodies have been moved, some of them definitely have damage. It's hard to tell if it would have been from that time or if it's happened since they were moved, but...
Can I make a common knowledge roll? My goal is to, if I can recall what I know about the Zero, was it like a sudden event, like a flash freeze that covered the world and affected a bunch of people, or if it was like a more gradual,
like sure, over, go ahead.
Over weeks yeah, and months. Yeah. Like, I guess it's a history roll, but common knowledge is all I got, really, that would pertain to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the specific one.
Four blows up.
Four I'm a big believer up. In multiple skills four should apply up. The same thing. There yeah. just might be different modifiers.
One. Four blows up, four blows up, four blows up, one. So.
Ooh.
Spicy.
Yeah, that's a 13, I think.
13.
So the legends that my people talked about, I was particularly, like, that was one of the most fascinating things for me, which makes sense for my curiosity in the pre-Zero stuff. Maybe we get a flashback shot to me as a kid at the fire listening to Randis tell about like the old stories about what happened during the Zero and how our people like barely escaped as this global thing change happened. And then he mentions the time frame in which it happens.
I like that tie into your backstory, so take a Benny for that.
Ooh, cool. Oh, should it? Yeah, definitely going to take a coin purse, Benny.
Yay!
Yay. So 13 is a success with two raises. You definitely remember many stories of the Zero, but the thing that sticks out most to you is that, for the most part, it was very sudden. It caught a lot of people by surprise. This is almost a textbook catastrophe. A lot of people just living their lives completely upended by the sudden change and shift in the world and the geography itself. That's not to say that there weren't places where it was more gradual, but that is completely within the realm of possibility for what could have occurred here. It could have been anything. It could have been the circumstance. It could have been the fact that, you know, they got trapped here. It's hard to say aside from that.
Well, I did not roll a critical failure, so I think I can say, well, it doesn't look like they victimized each other. So I don't think it was a situation of long drawn out survival and lack of resources. Maybe that also, like, remembering a silhouette of, like, Randis miming, like, attacking and people fighting and that type of stuff. I'm just imagining as the big shift happens and all the groups that banded against each other and fought each other. And a lot of nautical survival situations result in Donner Party-esque situations.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so because there's no obvious signs of a fire or chewed bones, the skeletons aren't, like, disassembled in such a way. It doesn't look like these people had to survive a long time. It seems like their death was sudden because they seemed to be just lounging in chairs and enjoying themselves and then this, you know? So there's no obvious signs of cannibalism or violence or even organizing of rations or anything like that. There's no makeshift structures for them trying to sleep in it, at least in this area. So it seems like these people died suddenly.
Graji is listening to you, but, you know, casting his eyes around and just sort of nodding placidly, but narrows his eyes as he continues keeping an eye out.
I wonder if they got flash frozen just in place. There's really no way to tell right now, but could have been.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Could you guys both make a notice roll for me?
Yes. That's a 9.
I got a 5.
So in this area, as you're just sort of picking through, you notice that there is a partition in like the middle of it that seems to bend and wind around towards the back of the boat. Solid walls in the middle that sort of block your way. So it's sort of like an oval shape just in the middle of the boat there. And from the other side of that, you can hear airflow of some kind, maybe a soft hissing of air. Sia, you can also hear sort of an under-bubbling of additional air distortion that sounds to you like it's probably some sort of a motor, maybe?
Ooh, that's spicy.
As you got the raise.
Sia snaps her slightly too big fingers and points at the direction she can hear. There's like an engine running or something. Something's powered up over there.
It's behind a partition, you said?
The airflow is coming from behind the partition. See, I'm not sure if you can tell exactly where that other sound is coming from. It doesn't sound like it's the same as the airflow, though.
It's a little further off. I don't think it's right here or anything. Grashi, maybe it's your quarry source. Maybe it's what you were looking for.
Hope so.
Is there a smell of ozone in the air? Can I roll to notice
that? Yeah, go ahead.
6 blows up. Oh, 2, 7.
In this area, it's been hard to separate that smell because the quarry fog is basically everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But since coming up here where the air is a lot cleaner, you can notice that that scent has been absent. But moving in here, you can start to smell it a little bit more.
Okay. How many exits can I see in this room? Like, I mean, we walked in this one door. Is there any other doorways that we can see?
The room itself continues to stretch deeper than you found so far. And I think there's another set of double doors on either side, like your left and your right, that lead back out to the deck.
Mm-hmm. And then there's this partition in the back.
The partition, I probably just described it poorly. What I'm imagining is in the center of this area, there is a solid wall that stretches back kind of in an oval shape beyond what you can currently see. So it's just, there is solid space in the middle.
Kind of like the island kitchen that might be in a dining hall or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Except it does stretch floor to ceiling, so you can't. It does obstruct your view.
Well, what I mean is, like, yeah, like when there's a horseshoe or a wraparound bar, and then like in the bar there's a kitchen that's just in the middle of the area, that there's a wall all the way around, maybe a diner, there's an outlet that you can, a window that you can pass food through, and like a hot plate. But yeah, there's this big block in the center. Like there's a room in the center of this room or something similar to that.
Correct. Sia, as you're telling Set and Raji about what you're hearing, you notice that the motor sound starts to dissipate.
Oh, it's stopping. Should we go look for that?
Okay, yeah. Stay with me. Raji, Claxby, you see where that partition is. Why don't you guys take the left? We'll take the right. See what we can see.
We still have walkie-talkies, right? Or did we give one to Ray?
I'm not sure. I would assume you guys still have walkie-talkies. I don't know if you gave one to Ray specifically.
Did we have walkie-talkie? Oh, we do!
Ray has one on the truck.
Comm, so he doesn't even need a walkie-talkie.
Yeah. That's fair, yeah.
So yeah, we me and you have walkie-talkies, and then he's got the CB radio. So if we're on a CB station, we should be able to communicate. If the quarry interference isn't too bad from all the fog.
That's a good point.
It's a valid point.
Sia tosses her walkie-talkie to Graji and just says, keep that on you.
He snatches it out of the air in a big meaty fist and looks at it, but then nods to you.
Did you turn it on and toss it to him?
It was probably already on.
Yeah.
He'll follow your instructions. He clips the radio to his hip and then gets his spear in both hands and positions himself on the opposite side.
As we move this way, I'm going to be maintaining eye contact, like, scanning the area and looking back at him and just like nodding my head and like gesturing with my head and, with my weapons. If I see any, trying to signal them, so we're communicating non-verbally at this point, but, as we proceed forward cautiously to this partition, so I don't want to break eye contact with him unless, basically, we're just getting a vantage point on the left and right of this as we approach.
Sure. You guys get on the left and right side there. There is a little arc-shaped bar that separates you. That's where a lot of the alcohol has been, smashed bottles. Some of them are still upright, jagged. Some of them have tumbled to the floor. Some have rolled down to the side and are lying in a pile by the furniture. Some of those bottles have a slight glow to them, but Graji is looking down his side and looks back to you and just offers a small shrug, but is otherwise remaining positioned to follow your instructions.
Yeah, I'm gonna gesture for him to come back towards where we're at. Basically, if we don't have anything on either side of concern, then we can group back together and then circle this outside of this partition.
And from where you're standing, it's a not a super narrow corridor. You could stand two abreast if you wanted to, but there's just a lot of tinier tables, dining tables, chairs, maybe booths along the side. That just stretches out in a straight line, and then it looks like the room opens up a little bit further beyond that.
We have kind of a slant to the floor here, right? Like, it's not level?
Yeah, a bit of a slant.
Basically, like, the chairs might have shifted a bit. Are the tables bolted down?
Yes, the tables are bolted down.
Smart. As they go, Sia's taking little samples of mushrooms and things that might be growing. She mutters, "We don't really know if they're plants or animals. They're really not either. It's very confusing, very vexing, but it is fun to study." Do you know these things are called gills?
What? Mycology?
I definitely knew what that word was. Me, Sia.
mushrooms. Sia would know that.
She
There's a good chance
would.
That Set would not know that word.
Mycology.
That was a chase word. The study of mushrooms, mycology. That it's not a Set word. It's like, mushrooms? I don't know. I remember heard someone told me that they weren't plants. Like, they don't need the sun to grow, so they're not plants.
They don't. They barely need anything to grow. They just pop up everywhere. We don't understand them at all.
You don't?
I, not me.
Like, they're not animals, right? Like, you're an animal expert, right?
Well, they're not technically animals, but there's some weird crossover. So I'm just gonna take some of these.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if these... can I roll survival?
Yeah, for sure.
They poison her through her fingertips instantly.
I'm going to suss them up from a survival standpoint, like what I know about these mushrooms, not a technical scientific study. I got 2 fours, 4 and 4. Mm. So,
okay.
I don't think they're edible, or are they edible?
There are probably at least 2 or 3 different varieties here that are growing in different areas, depending on, you know, the light source, like what it's exposed to. Let's say that 1 of the 3 is edible. 1 of them is distinctly not edible, and 1 of them is edible, but has a glow to it that you're not super familiar with.
That one's edible, that one is very poisonous, and that one shouldn't be glowing.
Oh, I'll run it through a beaker test later, it'll be fine.
Yeah, that might be a Cori mutation or something. Bioluminescence, is that the type of stuff you study?
I mean, all data is good data, but I really, what I've been focused on primarily is finding different strands of DNA in different creatures and plants to add into crops to make them, you know, more hardy. So if another zero was to happen, maybe we'd have an easier time with it.
Cool. Well, you can eat those ones.
Oh, good. I won't, but...
My gun's out, my sword's out, and I'm like circling around cautiously that I catch so you out of the corner of my eye, like mushrooms. Digging this stuff, and then I have this conversation. It's like, oh yeah, you can eat that one. I don't know about that one.
Just imagine him like pointing at them with the rapier, like, yeah, you can eat those, not those.
That is a gem.
So there's one that glows that you can eat.
Correct.
Yeah, those sound incredibly useful, especially for like a tribe that lives in cave structures.
Well, so I will say that it is the same species of mushroom that you identified as being edible, except this one glows, which is not something it normally does.
Mm.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's 3 types of mushrooms. 1 I know is edible. 1 I know is definitely not edible. 1's in the air, but all of them are glowing.
I think of those 3, the only one that's glowing is the one that you're not sure about. The other ones look like normal mushrooms.
Okay. You got to worry about that at all. That seems fine.
Now, here's the question. Is the one that's quote-unquote not edible, like, really poisonous? Or is it, you shouldn't eat that unless you've got a long week ahead of you?
That's a good question. I think it's probably not the type... And I know a little bit about mushrooms, but I'm not comfortable enough citing, like, a specific genus or anything. It is probably one that you should not eat because it would give you digestive issues, which if you already had, you know, issues could compound those. So it's not like an instant death sentence, but it wouldn't be
a fun time.
It would certainly exacerbate problems.
It'd be food poisoning. Super fun.
Maybe I can hand these over to the pesticides division.
What's a pesticide?
It just keeps bugs and stuff off of plants.
Oh, like dirt?
That's why you should, you know, if you go to a city, wash any produce you get before you eat it.
Produce? Like,
you know, vegetables and fruits and...
Vegetables. Yeah, I know what vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought it made something. Produce.
But the ground produces it for us to eat.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
produce,
yeah.
Produce, anti-deuce.
Deduce?
Deduce.
So you're picking at mushrooms, we're continuing forward, and there's no hum anymore.
There's no motor hum, but the hum of the air movement is still constant that you can hear through that wall.
Okay, so as we circle this partition, is there any portal in it? And by portal, I mean door, not literally like a magic portal. That you know,
sure.
Magical portals are fine too, though, if there is one.
There is one, yeah, that's interesting.
As you move along the wall, I think that, yeah, there can be a portal, a porthole.
Porthole? Oh, how appropriate.
In the wall with a glass window you can see through, but the glass window is fogged over with green. So you cannot see inside.
And there's no doorway.
Not on the side, but if are you guys going the whole way around?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, we both approached on the side in case something came around. Now we're circling around looking to see what the deal is around this. And can we see the back wall of this room now that we've approached this partition as we're going around it?
Yes, definitely. So you guys get into the second half of this room. It looks very much like the first half, although this one's a little bit more put together. Half of the room is not open air. It's all enclosed with, you know, more broken windows and stuff. To your left, I'm kind of assuming you went on the right side, but...
I had Graji take the left flank until we got up to the thing, and then I had him circle with us to the right, counterclockwise.
Gotcha. So you guys get out here on the opposite end of this oval. It is very clearly a stairwell that goes down.
Hmm.
And you can look in there and see that about halfway down the stairs, it's just this green fog. And it's very thick. It's the thickest you've seen it. It's making that same hissing sound. There's a little bit of air burbling on the surface, so some wisps of the green going up and down. The walls of this little room are all rock that have been jut up through the boat itself and are just sort of making a contained room there. But then you can't see any deeper into the fog there. But it's like, It's probably 5 or 10 feet below you. So it's not like it's about to blow up and cover you or you're about to fall into it. You would have to go down into it if that was your choice. Aside from that, at the opposite end, there is a much wider game table bar, sort of like a wide poker table. More skeletons scattered around. Seated at that table is a much more... recent looking corpse. From here you can tell that it looks like it was a Yara woman with thick hairy tarantula legs. And seated behind the table is a familiar looking gold statue of a stately Ignean Karnak with a large frill on its back.
Got him, Mr. Glitter Scale.
I'm gonna turn to Graji and be like, can you have Claxby watch this staircase in case anything comes up? Maybe make a racket while we go check out behind us.
He nods to you, walks out the double doors onto the side of the ship and sort of hollers a word out. And then you see Claxby climb up the side of the boat and then come in and comes in and plops itself right there.
Graji, do you need me to take samples for you? I have all the things.
He looks at you and sizes you up a little bit, then nods. But
nice.
He's gonna keep an eye on you if you're like going to collect the samples. He'll watch you while you do it just to make
sure.
That's
fine. She wants eyes on her anyway.
Yeah.
She'll, you know, use more of the walls to get down there. So she's hovering above the fog, does some work.
Okay, sure.
Traps it in beakers, corks it up real tight.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make you roll to do that.
She got those good Pneumo Seal beakers. She spent a little bit extra cash on it. She felt like it was worth it.
And while you're doing this, while you're hovering there, you can watch the wisps of smoke sort of roiling around there, and you can hear that hissing noise coming from deeper.
That's probably fine. That's probably fine.
There's no real fluctuation to it. It's a pretty constant noise.
Once she gets her samples, she clacks back up to the top, jamming her legs into the wall very carefully, but very, you know, steadily. And then she takes a picture of the mist pit.
While that's all going on, Set is going to cautiously approach the corpse of the Yara woman with tarantula legs, sheath my sword, do a quick frisk of the exterior of her clothes, and check for any immediately usable gear, ammunition, med pack, any navigational equipment. Basically, I'm doing a strip down of useful material off of them, if they have anything left. And I imagine also if there's any overt evidence of foul play.
Sure, that sounds good to me. Why don't you go ahead and make a notice roll to that?
both the dice blow up.
Ooh, nice. I didn't know which way that was going to go. So that's either really good or really bad.
Yeah, exactly. It is a 10 total.
That's really good. The Yara woman in front of you, like I said, she has hairy tarantula legs, although some of the hair pattern has since started to fall off. And without getting into any kind of grotesque description, you can tell that this body is relatively recent, probably weeks, you know, since the passing. Not skeletal like the other ones. Just looking over her and in the general area, you see that there is a laptop open on the table in front of her. The battery is dead. Several wires hang out of the laptop itself. One of the wires feeds into her wrist, where you can see she has some sort of a data port. Another one feeds into her temple. There is a little mini satellite dish type accessory that is also plugged into the laptop, but is freestanding on the bar top itself and is sort of open and pointed towards the open window.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely tell that there are open provisions around here. Things that, compared to what you found below deck, definitely look more recent. Just general MRE type rations that have been opened and already consumed. You see that there is a box of those older provisions from what you found below, maybe some old dusty looking candy bar wrappers that are open and, you know, discarded, and the rest of the box untouched. On the bar top itself, you also see a handful of the mushroom that you guys had previously identified as probably not the one that you would want to eat.
Oh no.
Behind the poker table is another statue of an Ignian Karnak with the large frill on his back running down to his tail, adorned with some very basic plastic crystalline bits in the likeness of Gary Glitterscale. This statue is partially sunk into the deck itself at a weird angle, so it's still almost at eye level, but it's a little bit below that and at a weird angle, like some of the boards have cracked. You can tell from looking at the statue a little bit more closely that some of the segments are broken up and there are gaps in the statue. So probably with your raise, it looks like it might be animatronic. And perched atop Gary Glitterscale's head and not part of the statue itself is a green poker visor.
Is there a port for a crypto tube?
Looking around, you can tell that there probably should be something here, but it's not immediately in front of you.
Is it the statue? Is it in the statue if it's all, like, weird and segmented?
So you're looking for, like, a key for a crypto tube, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you do not see a key, although I think you would see that behind the table there is a little pedestal where maybe it once was, but it is no longer there.
Okay. Is there a button for the animatronic robot thing?
Yeah, I think with a raise you can find a button.
And I want to click it.
You want to click the button. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sia and Graji finish their handoff just as Set's in the foreground, clicking real close to the camera, and they're like in the background real far away, like with the force perspective. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Oh, yeah, like right intermediate between them is the table with the computer laptop and the dried up,
yeah.
the corpse.
Okay, yeah, you push the button. There's a moment of pause, but there's a very satisfying click-clack to the button as you depress it. And then, Sia, you start to hear that same motorized whirring that you'd heard downstairs.
She perks up.
And it's definitely coming from where Set is. So there's a moment of pause, and then the statue sort of jerks awake in exaggerated robotic movements as it lifts its head up. Audio starts to play, and it's coming through very crackly and staticky, and a bit disjointed.
Well, howdy there, friends. This is Gamblin' Gary Glitterscale, and welcome to Fun Voyage.
Limbs are sort of rattling back and forth as it gesticulates around it, pivoting at the hip. It looks like the lower body is fixed in place.
Are you... like me? Your luck's about to change here on Fun Voyage. Try one of the... games of... And as always, shine on.
It jerks again a little bit and leans forward. It stays engaged, so it's still turned on, but it doesn't move or respond anymore immediately.
Sia salutes off her forehead and says, "Shine on, you beautiful son of a bitch."
It twitches again and says,
"Hello, friends!"
And starts to launch into another little mini conversation that
is it the same one or like slightly different?
It's probably slightly different, okay. But a lot of it is lost and, you know, crackles and goes back and forth.
Are there lenses in its eyes?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm gonna pull out the crypto tube and like hold it in front of it and see if that triggers a different reaction.
Yeah, you hold up the crypto tube and the animatronic robot shifts again and turns to face you and says,
"Ah, I see we have a traveler of the Glittering Path. I can only expect you're here to unlock the next stage of your journey."
And it continues to jerk back and forth.
Well, I can tell you're a winner, but as we all know, luck is important in life. Why don't you try yours here with me?
And then it sort of jerks its arms towards the poker table in front of it in a very jarring motion.
If you happen to best me, I will unlock the next stage of your journey.
Set, do you know how to play poker?
Can I roll common knowledge to see if I know what poker is?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I don't think this would be a major penalty because poker is still a thing.
Yeah, I just
current day.
I don't want to just. I personally think it'd be fun if. I'm gonna leave it to the dice to tell me if I know what poker is. I think that'd be fun.
Sure. Yeah.
I got a 1 and a 3, so I don't know what poker is.
Does Sia know what poker is?
Well, we're her role.
If you want to roll for it, you can. You're from O'Lara,
this
so.
This is more for, does she know how to play it well, I think?
Okay, sure. Then, yeah, go ahead and roll.
Would that be like a wood?
Ultimately, gambling is a skill.
Damn, so if she untrained in that.
So that just means you're not good at it. Doesn't mean you don't know what it is or you don't know what the rules are, but I think it's safe to say that you wouldn't have any, like, practical meta knowledge of skill or tactics or anything.
Can I roll an untrained gambling just to see what her baseline would be?
For sure.
Both of them, thank God, on this very important roll.
Thank Gary Goderscale.
All right, that's an 11 on my d4.
And
and an 11 on my d6.
It was meant to be.
Is that including your minus 2?
Ah, damn. So a 9, I suppose.
Still a success with the raise.
Only a single raise on both of your rolls.
Right.
Well.
So why don't you tell me why you have some sort of practical working knowledge of poker? This is not going to adjust your gambling die size.
Okay. She used to play an MMO that had poker as an integrated loot drop system.
Okay.
So that's why she knows about poker.
That's fun. Okay.
She's like, oh, I know how to, I can help here. I got, she has a glint in her eye, like there's going to be a rare drop.
She knows a lot about poker. She might not be able to play it well, but she knows a lot about it.
I know a lot about it.
No poker face, just like completely reactive. But luckily you're playing against an animatronic robot.
That should be fine.
All right. Yeah, it sits there waiting patiently.
She walks up.
The robot might have a shuffling machine in it. It might just deal the cards in front of us. I don't know.
I will play you, Gary Glitter Scales. Mr. Glitter Scales. Hello.
Ooh, it looks like we have multiple contestants. Do you both wish to play?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna sit down and follow Sia's lead.
Okay, yeah, you guys sit down in front of it. It waves another jerky hand.
Place your chips.
Sia looks around for chips.
You can easily find chips.
Okay, she grabs a whole handful of chips.
Put it down for both of you guys?
Yeah. Well, she hands a nice tower of them to Set. She's like, we bet with these. You want pairs and flushes and, you know, they're aces sometimes. She's bad at explaining things.
We have to get sick?
What?
Flushes? We have to be flush? Like...
No. Oh. It's, She tries to explain. She's terrible at explaining everything.
I don't blush. That's a human thing.
That's fair. She's like, take them all to the cleaners. It's like that guy you played Catan with who didn't explain the rules. Can I roll a smarts to see how well Sia can collate her knowledge to properly explain poker?
You may if you would like to. Sure.
I just want to see. That's a 4. I guess it's okay.
Sia gets the basics across to Set.
I don't know how to count cards, but I know what the hands are now.
Sure. So what I will tell you guys here is that... Oh, okay. So you guys both sit down, you have your chips, and he goes,
ooh, looks like we have some high rollers.
And sort of leans in, puts, you know, a jerky elbow on the table, but when it puts the elbow down, it just, like, slams the table and all of your chips kind of clatter down out of their stack. But then a slot on the table opens up and a deck of cards comes out. And it's an automatic shuffler.
Yes.
That shuffles them out. And then...
Are they cool? Do they have his face on them instead of like the royals?
I think that's fun. Yeah. Let's... You could take a Benny for that suggestion because I think that's a great idea. And he says,
place your bets.
Sia bets half her stack. She's half in.
Set does exactly the same because I don't have... These mean nothing to me. Like...
Of course.
Yeah, that. Let's do this.
Feeling lucky today, aren't we?
The shuffler just starts to spit cards out at you guys. It's like a
Oh, shit.
Just spraying them out. It kind of like turns on a swivel to aim them at you, but there's no rhyme or reason. It is not functioning properly.
Catch five, catch five. This has reawakened something in me I thought I left behind. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode with us. First up, I would love to say thank you to our gracious patrons. Thank you to Chase, Valentine, Ezra, Nakota, Jackie, and Jade. Chase, especially this episode, because without Chase, Silica Valley would not exist. Thank you so much, Chase. Thank you also to Caleb Sunstead, Zach, Ben Hatton, Paxton, Gerald, Alex, Davriel, Ellis, and Zane. Thank y'all so much. Your support genuinely helps us make every new episode for you. It means so much. Our music this week was by Crockett and Marcus D. Crockett you can find at Crockett80s on Twitter and crockett.bandcamp.com. Marcus D you can find at Marcus D on Twitter and at marcusd.net. Savage Worlds was created by the Pinnacle Entertainment Group, and you can find them and their products online at peginc.com. You can find us at patreon.com/RPG for you and me. We'll see you in 2 weeks.